With me, if you would, and turn to the book of Isaiah. We're going to look this morning in Isaiah chapter 57. We're going to look down at verses 20 and 21. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. Title of our message this morning is The Way of the Wicked. And the reason I chose that is, well, partly because last week was Halloween and people think of all kinds of wicked and crazy things, but also because throughout the month of October, we saw many things on the news that connected us to the wickedness around the world and even in our own nation. And sometimes as Christians, we step back and we shrug our shoulders. Why? Why are wicked people so wicked? You know, years ago when Josh worked for the sheriff's department down in Virginia and he was in ACAC, which is the division that deals with catching people involved in producing and disseminating child crimes on the internet, he told me, he says, you know, Dad, when I grew up, I always knew that there were bad people and bad things happened. But he said, really, until I worked at this job, I didn't understand how really evil people can be. There's a distinction, isn't there? When all of a sudden there's a line that's just wicked and evil. When you look at Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 27, 20 and 21, it says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And that is ever so true. Just a couple weeks ago in Culiacan, Mexico, which we actually have a missionary, Brother Smith, if you read the missions boards along the back, one of our missionaries is in Culiacan, Mexico. Culiacan, Mexico is where El Chapo's big drug cartel kind of reaches out past Culiacan, the Sinaloa cartel. Massive cartel, kills a lot of people throughout those regions. Things had really calmed down. El Chapo's in prison. However, wickedness continues to brew, and like the ocean that cannot be calmed, just continues to go. And here just a couple weeks ago, they arrested El Chapo's son, Ovidio Guzman. And when they did that, when they arrested him, the cartel rose up and came into the city of Culiacan by the thousands. They came in with weapons. They came in and started gunfights all across the city. There were 17 gun battles raging all at one time on October 17th. Many people killed and wounded, and it just reminded the people in Culiacan, Mexico, that even though the cartels had kind of quieted down, that evil just rages on behind the scenes. And we might think to ourselves, well, that's just Mexico. Well, that's not just Mexico, is it? Just last month, they killed Abu Baghdadi, who was the head of ISIS. And just a few days after the government executed him over there, the U.S. government through the military, ISIS came out and they said, America, do not rejoice. They appointed another guy. And then, of course, another one rises up. They said, we will never give up. We will always be. Because evil always is. As long as there is a devil, as long as there is a Satan, as long as there is wickedness, wickedness will always rise up. You might think to yourself, well, that's not in the United States. We are a Christian, quote unquote, Christian nation, and therefore we're exempt. Well, in the month of October alone, well, we won't even go there. In the last year in Chicago, not the whole state, but just Chicago, Illinois, there were 2,313 shooting victims just in the city of Chicago. Those who died, who were had homicide fatalities were 436 to this point this year. So we are not exempt from wickedness. Wickedness happens even in our state, doesn't it? You don't have to go to Chicago. You don't have to go to Syria. You don't have to go to Mexico. So when the Bible talks about this, sometimes we step back and we say, I don't understand. But the scriptures teach us. And so when we look at these two verses, there are three things I want to bring out for you. Look again with me the text, Isaiah chapter 57, verses 20 and 21. It says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The first thing I want you to see is that God tells us that the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. In fact, that phrase is used twice in the entire Bible. In all the pages of the Bible, that phrase is used twice. Once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. In the book of Jude, chapter 13, it says, the wicked are like raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. And so we are reminded that all the way back in ancient times, when this text was penned by the prophet Isaiah, he says to you and I that in their day as well as in our day, the lives of those who live wicked and wretched lives are like the raging seas that cannot rest. They are troubled in all aspects. They cannot find rest. Because from within there is no rest. Christ called out to the wicked and offered to give them rest. If you'll look with me to Matthew chapter 11, we understand that God truly is burdened about the wickedness of the world. And he desires to bring peace to the hearts of the wicked that they might find that rest that so eludes them. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 on down. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Christ called out to a wicked world and said, if you will just but turn to me, in me you will find that rest. That is a raging sea you cannot find within yourself. The wicked, however, often refuse. Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 16 and 17 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And that is one of the sad, sad tales of the wicked around the world, whether it be the wicked within our boundaries of where we live, or whether it be in Chicago or Mexico or in Syria or wherever it may be around the world. They refuse to listen to the simple peace, the rest that Christ offers, the way, the path that would lead them. They say, we will not hear and we will not go, according to Jeremiah chapter 6. So when we look at these verses in Isaiah chapter 57, and we hear God say that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, then we begin to understand why this stuff goes on generation after generation. How is it that Satan is able to stir the hearts and souls of the wicked and compel them to do such horrific things? Because within them is that raging sea that cannot be squelched, because they will not respond to the peace of God as he so desires to give them. Look with me again at our text in Isaiah 57. I want you to see the second thing he teaches us about the wicked. It says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. That's a really interesting turn of phrase that the Bible uses. That the seas that cannot be calm. They cannot find rest. It says it casts up mire and dirt. Yesterday, after I worked in the office and worked on this message, I had to go home and wanted to do it before it got dark. I have three beef cows, and they're pretty big right now, pretty good-sized cows. And I had filled my water tank. I have the big 50-gallon water tank. I'd filled it right to the top and went out to feed them in the morning. And why cows do this, I do not know. I've talked to them. I've explained it to them. I've told them this is dumb to do. But for some reason, they'll back up and poop in their own water. Now, that's disgusting. Is it not disgusting? Yeah, it's disgusting. So I saw that, and I thought, I didn't have time to deal with it right then, because you can't tip that tub over when it's full. I've got to bail out that poop water by hand, and I don't like that, but I have to do it. So I thought to myself, well, there's enough water puddles out in their pasture. They've got water for the day. And at the end of the day, when I got done here, I went home, I took a 5-gallon bucket, and I just start bucketing out that water. And the cows, they are naturally curious creatures, aren't they? If you've ever had cows, they come up, they want to see, what are you doing in there? You know, this is our shed, that's our water we pooped in, why are you bothering it? So I'm scooping the 5-gallon buckets and I'm tossing the water, and the cows are coming up closer and closer, and each time I throw the water, it's splashing on the ground and splashing mud up on them, and they're jumping back. Now, personally, that would happen about one time, and I wouldn't step up again, would you? No, every time they step as close as they can get, I throw the water, it splashes mud on them, they jump back, then they step right back up again. But every time it's splashing mud on them, and I'm thinking to myself, it's just like this text says. It's throwing this muck and mire as it splashes up. And that's what the text says. It says the wicked, as a tempestuous sea that cannot be calmed, splashes its muck and its mire out. And what God wants you and I is to visualize how that when the wicked do these things, they spread muck and mire everywhere they go. They splash on everybody around them. They affect and touch and contaminate everything around them. That's what he's saying when he says the waters cast up mire and dirt. The word mire, when you look at this text here in verse 20, where it says, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, it's using a phrase that comes from, in fact, in the Bible, you find it referenced in the bottom of dungeons. Listen to what it says here in Jeremiah 38, verse 6. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. So you want to visualize not just dirt. It's not like your kid stomping on a water puddle. I mean, we're talking about nasty mire that it's saying splashes up on us because of the dealings and the doings of the wicked around the world. It affects us in so many ways. We see it in Hollywood. We see it in the violence of the games that our children, our teenagers, and our young adults play. All of this is stuff splashing out on our culture and our society, touching our boys and girls and ourselves all the time. Not just a little dirt, but a mire dirt, like the refuse at the bottom of a dungeon. The only hope really is the Lord. Look with me, if you would, at Psalm 69 in your Old Testament. I want you to see how that God desires to free us from the impact of that by bringing salvation and peace and calm to the lives of the wicked if they would but just turn to him. Look with me at Psalm 69. I'm going to read to you verses 13 down through 15. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. So here you hear the psalmist cry out to God because he knows his only hope rests in the saving power of the Lord God Almighty. He says, lift me up. Catch me out of the mire. Don't let the open mouth of the pit close in on me. You and I, we can't imagine why would people want to be a part of ISIS? Why do they want to go and behead people and torment people and kill people all in the name of religion? Why would they want to do that? It's hard for us to grasp the idea that, El Chapo and his drug cartel in that part of Mexico, and there's many drug cartels. 20% of the entire income of that region is all through the cartels. 20% of the entire economy. That's a lot. Why do people want that? Why do they want to be associated? In fact, Culiacan, Mexico has some of the most fertile land. It's where we get our eggplants and tomatoes and that kind of thing from. The land is highly fertile, but a big part of it is used to grow drugs. Why? Why, when they could make a living, they could live without being criminals, they could go ahead and separate themselves? Why does wickedness reign? Why in Chicago? Over 400 homicides so far this year. Over 2,000 shootings and wounds, victims of shootings. Why? Because our culture and our society embraces wickedness. And as that wickedness takes place, and as we make them heroes and lift them up as Bonnie and Clydes and all of that kind of thing, as we somehow glorify wickedness, it splashes muck and mire onto us. And God says, but if only the wicked would turn, if only they'd hear me offer them rest. If only they would reach out of that pit, I would be glad to pull them up out that the mouth of that pit might not close in on them. Psalm 40 verses 1 and 2 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. You see, there are people who reach out. There are people who ask God to forgive them and to give them newness of life and to put them on the solid ground. There are people who come to conversion, just as we see Psalm 40 verses 1 and 2 talk about there. That's why we do what we do. It's why we send missionaries like Brother Smith to Culiacan. In fact, he wrote me a little email just 2 days ago, and he said, Brother Taylor, I was out of the country when the gunfights started in Culiacan. This was only a few days later, after the gunfights. He said, my wife and I are headed back in right now. Pray for us. And so they headed back down into Mexico to the city of Culiacan. And there they checked on their church families and checked on their church and all the people they knew to see who was affected and what has happened. And why? Why would he go back to a place that is the center of a drug cartel? Because he knows the hope of those people rests in the peace that God offers them. Because in and of themselves, there is no peace. As those roaring waves cannot be calmed, God says, I am the one who can calm them. And of course, we know in the New Testament, Jesus on the tempestuous sea, just by a spoken word, hushed the storm. And he can do that in the hearts and lives of individuals as well, if they will but turn to him. And it is why our missionaries go. It's why we preach and teach. It's why we reach out to neighbors and friends, that we might squelch wickedness no matter where it is. When you go back to our text in Isaiah 57 and you look at verse 21, it says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And that's because God looks in their hearts and he knows. He knows what you and I cannot see. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 3 in your New Testament. And here you find the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 3, verses 12 down through 18. Listen to what he says. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. So when you look at these texts, the Apostle Paul is talking to us about the condition of being without Christ, the condition of being without salvation, the condition of embracing wickedness and evil instead of righteousness and goodness in the Lord. And he gives this description all the way down through there. And if you look closely, all of a sudden, we see ourselves. You see, sometimes wickedness is not something as outrageous as ISIS or a drug cartel or shooting gangs in Chicago. Sometimes wickedness is simply the evil within each and every one of our hearts. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about there. And that's why he calls us to a place of repentance and peace, whether we be an El Chapo, whether we be a Baghdadi, or we be a Tim Taylor. Philippians chapter 4 verse says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the peace they need, and that's the peace we need, that our minds might be kept in Christ Jesus. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, Christ wanted to make it clear that he offered a peace that the world could not offer. It's not available. No matter how much money you have, no matter how big your caliphate is in the Middle East, no matter how tough your gang is and intimidating it is in Chicago, the peace that they seek through power and strength and intimidation cannot even begin to compare to the peace that passes understanding within our hearts. And so Christ made it clear. He said, the peace I offer you is not the peace the world can give. I give you a peace that is a peace that drives away fear. That's what John 14:27 says. John 16:33 says, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Christ wants us to understand, just as the Old Testament teaches, that wickedness is a real part of the world we live in. And it will be through all generations until the end of time. In fact, it has been all the way back to the very first family. It will always be here. Wickedness is troubling, whether it's a neighbor or another country. Wickedness is perplexing, and unfortunately, it's contaminating. It's like me bucketing out that water out of that tank, and it's splashing mud upon the cows because they won't just step back. It's kind of the way people are. They get as close to what's going on as they can, and they think it doesn't affect them, but wickedness continues to splash muck and mire on them. Happens all the time. Whether it be through the movies we watch or the things we read or the places we go, if we are not careful when we leave, we're highly contaminated. And all along, God says, come, come unto me. I want to give you rest. I want to give you peace. I want to give you a peace that the world cannot give you. Whether you be a drug cartel person or just a neighborhood watchman, whatever is in your heart, God wants to give peace, forgiveness. It's a matter of turning to Him. Jeremiah says that the vast majority of the wicked say, no, I will not go down that path. I will not hear that trumpet. I will not hear that watchman. I don't want to know. It's just what the New Testament teaches too. The New Testament says, broad is the way to destruction, and narrow is the way to righteousness. But it's up to us to choose what is best. We each choose. We each choose. We choose whether we want to live a life that honors God or not. We choose whether we want to get as close to wickedness as we can or learn to stay away. We choose every day. We as parents and grandparents, oftentimes our choices have huge consequences on our children, don't they? Certainly through the years of pastoring, I've seen families who they bring their kids as close to wickedness as they can, and they just ignore the splash. And then they wonder why when their kids grow up, they dive in full force. Because you brought them right to the edge. And it didn't seem so bad. We have to choose. We have to choose as parents, as grandparents, to protect our children from wickedness. But more important than that, we need to point them to the peace that can only be found in Christ. That is why both Old Testament and New Testament, God calls out, calls out, calls out. He beckons the wicked to come to repentance because He wants them to have eternal life and peace. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and I have no idea. Maybe you've just stepped out of a world that is truly, truly wicked. It may not be as wicked as El Chapo or Baghdadi or Chicago gangs, but you know in your heart and in your soul that you need to find the forgiveness and peace that only God offers. Then in just a minute, we're going to have an invitation, and I invite you to come to this altar. Let us open the Bible and answer your questions and pray with you and see you today call upon Christ to come into your heart and into your life, to give you peace, not the peace of this world, but the peace that only God can give. Christian, as we come into this invitation time, I ask you to pray. Pray for our missionaries around the world who find themselves in places like Culiacan, Mexico, where gun battles break out due to vicious and cruel gangs. Pray for people in neighborhoods like Chicago. They need to find the Lord. Pray for your neighbors and friends, that they might find peace. Father in heaven, as we go into this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to work and to move. Help each of us to be folks who are listening to you. You have sounded the trumpet. You have called out as the watchman. Lord, you point the way to peace and forgiveness and renewal. I pray that this morning, each of us would respond to you according to our need. Lord, I pray for our missionaries around the world. They face true wickedness, whether in neighborhoods like ours or whether in far-flung corners of the world. I pray for them. I pray that you would help us to faithfully support them and encourage them. Be with us as we go into this invitation time. Stir our hearts that we might reach out to you for peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.